You gotta call Florida's Elite Restoration. You can't fool around with mold. And you're undermining your own talented roster by doing this. And now we're heading into week six. Lee, I mean, how long is it going to take to clean this stuff up? They got to play a clean game Sunday because, I'll tell you what, Green Bay's going on all cylinders. They're scoring 30 points a week. Rodgers having the time of his life. The Bucs better be ready to play. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Buccaneers fans, the Packers are almost here, but the man who is here is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, also known as Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Tampa's first family of Ford, Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKepper of JoeBucksFan.com is here today. We are so fired up to talk about all things Bucks, as we always do, twice a week on the podcast, Ira. And we appreciate all of our podcast platform listeners on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever, Podbean, and right at JoeBucksFan.com, of course. Ira, how are you?
I'm a little apprehensive, Steven. I'm a little apprehensive. Because the Bucs are about to embark on the tough part of their schedule. I mean, the next seven games are difficult, except for the lousy Giants. Okay, that's one. But the other six, all of them have winning records. And, you know, Lee, the idea of going into this thing, a gauntlet, at 3-3 instead of 4-2, I think that would make a big difference. They haven't played a complete game through 5 weeks. They really haven't, and here come the Packers off a bye. Lee, it's a huge game. It's a statement game for the Bucs. There's going to be fans in the stands. A lot of them seeing Brady play in person for the first time. Now to some questions about Brady. Lee, a little bit of apprehension about the Bucs going into this game, I think.
Ira, you're completely correct. You're absolutely correct. One of the reasons why I was so bitterly depressed about the Thursday game. Forget Eddie Van Halen. I was depressed to begin with. Then the way they lost that game, knowing the immediate schedule for the next month and a half. Look, I'm a pessimist to begin with. I'm a glass half full kind of guy, or half empty, I should say. This could be the cusp of an ugly collapse, a spiraling collapse. I sure hope I'm wrong, but the way they lost that Bears game, you know, I was hoping, just to use your word, it's a perfect word, gauntlet. To start this gauntlet, I sure hope they were 4-1. To me, they could survive that. The only thing they needed to do was go 500 through this gauntlet, and they could still easily get the 10 wins. Man, I am just so scared about what may happen. I don't know what to say. I'm just, for me, it reeks of bad tidings, very bad tidings. I hope I'm dead wrong. And again, Ivor, you're absolutely correct. They've yet to play a full game. You know, they play decent halves here or there, very, you know, impressive halves, to be honest with you, but not a full game. And I just don't think this team is clicking. I really don't. I don't know why that is. Steve's brought this up before. I am completely in agreement with him. Stop with the Brady needs to learn the offense. How many quarterbacks are excelling in the NFL as we speak who are new to their teams, including rookie quarterbacks? Stop with this. They need time. They've had just as much time as every other NFL team. Enough of that. I don't want to hear Joe Buck mention time. They need more time again. Or Troy Aikman. I'd rather hear Troy Aikman talk about make a play than he says that all the time. If that's a drinking game, you won't last the game before you're smashed on the floor. Make a play. I'm very pessimistic about the next month and a half. And by the way, the gimme game you're talking about, the Giants. How'd that happen? How'd that work out last year when the Bucs had the lead on that scrub team?
Steve, having said all that, and I understand, Lee's caution, if they beat Green Bay, and it's a pick'em game, basically, they're sitting 4-2, having beaten a real quality opponent. So that's why Sunday's matchup is so intriguing. It can change the narrative and allay some of the fears in Buck Nation right now.
Ira, I am very, very confused and perplexed. And I can explain why, I think, pretty easily, but I don't even know what to make of what you and Lee have said. I'm completely out of sorts right now, but I want to get my head straight. And when I want to do that, I talk about the greatness of Bill Curry Ford, They are always consistent. They are always playing a complete game, whether it's the body shop, service, and of course, sales, amazing prices, transparent on their website. And general manager Sean Sullivan is there for Bucks fans anytime, nonstop, by any method, to really just help you any way he can. That's the Bill Curry way. That's the Sean Sullivan way. BillCurryFord.com. Great deals through the end of this month, as always. You can see the specials at their website, BillCurryFord.com. But it's more than just about specials and the best prices in town, including pre-owned. It's about their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And just Sean Sullivan being ready to help people 24/7. Ira, and you know that Sean means that. That's the fun part.
I'm going to pay Sean a visit next week. He doesn't know it, and I'm going to surprise him. And we're gonna talk a little Buccaneers, but I'm due for an oil change. My cherry red Escape, and I got a great service department. They're quick, they're efficient, and while they're working on it, I grab a Cuban from the kiosk from Big Storm, and I chat with Sean about his beloved Buccaneers. And there's no bigger Buck fan that I know than Sean Sullivan. And he keeps up a running dialogue with the Kemper during Buck games. And he's screaming when they screw up, and he's exhilarated when they make a play. And I'm going to go visit him, but I'm not going to tell him in advance. I'm just going to surprise him next week.
All right, I got some bad news for you.
What?
He listens to this podcast.
Well, I said next week. I didn't give him the daily. I didn't give him the day.
Yeah, the exact moment. The exact moment will be a surprise. Look, Ira, last podcast, I asked you if you were ready to change your prediction for this team, which was 11-5. And you said, no. That's what you said. So now we're worried about this gauntlet, and the team might not be up for it. I'm a little bit confused. They haven't played a complete game, but you still said you thought they were an 11-5 team. So I'm a little confused there. I'm a little bit confused with Lee, only because I'm not sure what you guys expected and what Lee expected. Look, I thought this team would go 4-4 and then finish out the second half with 6 wins, playing strong football, finally coming together completely. And I think they're right on track to do that. That's just my humble opinion looking at the schedule. So I'm a little bit confused. I'm not doom and gloom. I see all the warning signs that Lee talks about, and the clicking and the complete game, and that it's not happening. But I also look at these other teams, and I'm not impressed. You know how many points the Raiders are allowing per game, Ira? Tell me.
About 28.
30.4 points per game. They can't stop anybody every single week. I'm not really worried about the Bucs going up there. They've been very inconsistent, like the Bucs. Yes, they beat the Chiefs. Yes, Chucky's going to be pulling his hair out 24/7 trying to stick it to Team Glazer, and it's going to be fun. But I'm just not that worried about the team. Maybe that's me.
Well, guys, I look around and I see the Carolina Panthers, who were crushed by the Bucks in the first half of that meeting in Tampa, and I see them at 3-2. They got a new quarterback in Bridgewater. But by the way, I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater guy. I thought he played well against the Bucs that day under dire circumstances. They've won 3 in a row without McCaffrey. No McCaffrey. They're 3-2. They got the same record as the Bucs. And I look at the rosters, and maybe I'm missing something. I don't see any comparison between these two rosters. I think the Bucs are far superior in almost every category. They don't have Keekly. He's gone. No McCaffrey. New quarterback. Guys, he's completing 72% of his pass attempts. 72. Teddy Bridgewater. So, in that respect, Steve, I don't think you can argue the point that the Bucs haven't played a complete game. And I dare say it's going to take a complete game to send the Packers back home to Wisconsin with an L. So, yeah, if they're 3-3, I think there's reason for concern. Right now, I'm not ready to change my record of 11-5. Let's see what happens Sunday. If they're 4-2, I think they're on track. If they're 3-3, then they got to go 8-2, and I don't see that from this team if they got a two-game losing streak going to Vegas. So, yeah, Lee, I'm a little concerned. I haven't turned off on the Bucks. I still got them for 11 wins, but I want to see more. Lee, I want to see more from this team right now. Better coaching. Stop with the stupid penalties. 8 penalties a game, Lee. That's not a winning formula. I'm sorry. And I don't want to hear any Buck fans yakking about we don't have Vita Vea. Well, how are we going to compete? Lee, I'll say it again. Every damn team in this league, they're missing key starters. Key starters. And I'm telling you this right now. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. You tell me, Lee. 2 weeks ago, when Vita Vea was healthy, if you ask Buck fans, who are the defensive players we cannot afford to lose, Vita Vea would be like the fifth or sixth guy. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. So let's not go crazy over this.
You know, reason why I'm so doom and gloom is, like everything else, a season is its own life. Each week is a different life, you could argue. The way the Bucks have lost, the way they're not looking good, and they haven't yet, the way they've had a lot of injuries to what was arguably their strength. You can't argue they're better than the Chiefs. You can't argue they're better than the Packers. And let's go down the list. That's why I'm pessimistic. You know, they haven't proven it yet. They haven't proven, like, number one, like Iris said, they haven't played a complete game. Number two, they just are not looking smooth whatsoever. And so I just can't make a leap and think, oh, they're clicking. You know, they've got everything going just because I want them to. That's fiction. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't bank on fiction. That's not me. I got to see it. I'm a burning bush kind of guy. Arguably, they're better than the Giants, but I still remember how they threw that game away last. I still remember that. So I'm not 100% saying that's a W either. 95% sure. Just quit taking losses to set up your bad kicker. Luckily, the Bucks don't have a bad kicker this year. Steve, you yourself wrote they're at a crossroads. I believe so, too. This season could go to hell real quick. And given the history of this team the last 12 years, I'm conditioned to expect it'll go to hell quick.
Steve, speaking of penalties, I was just checking this the other day. Guess which team has had the fewest flags thrown at them out of 32 teams this season? Steve, I think you could guess. What do you think?
Tampa Bay?
No, the fewest. The fewest.
I'm teasing you, Ira. Well, of course, you're probably going to say the Patriots or maybe the Titans.
You can stop right there, Isbits. You can stop right there. And they've churned the roster. They got about 25 new guys on New England. Half of them you can't even name. No penalties, relatively speaking. Steve, it's about coaching. You got to get on these guys for the techniques. You got to get it down in practice, and it'll carry through to the games. You got to hold them accountable. You can't be lax about it. If they screw up, you got to point it out right then and there on the practice field. And Steve, Buck fans are tired of it. They're tired of this notion of Bucks beating Bucks. They're absolutely tired of it. They're sick of it. I know Lee and I are, and we're not going to make any more excuses about this, Steve. So what do you say about this undisciplined football team?
Well, I'm glad you brought up penalties, Ira. I feel like this podcast feels like a three-way presidential debate, which is kind of fun. Let me just ignore your question for a second in the debate tradition and go over to Lee with the Crossroads game. Regarding the Crossroads, Lee, you're right. I've written that it's a Crossroads, but I think it's a Crossroads for expectations of Bucks fans and the Super Bowl bar that a lot of people have set for this team. So I think they're at a crossroads for that, where they got to start looking like a Super Bowl team soon if they're going to reach their goal. But my personal opinion as the team itself, I'm just not that worried that they're going to be a losing team the way they're playing. I'll give this little example. There was a lot of bad football luck for the Bucks in that Bears game. One point I'll go to is JPP had a strip sack in the fourth quarter. If that ball bounces just a little bit differently, the Bucks fall on it. The game's going to be over pretty much. And there was a couple of near picks in that game as well that didn't happen, and some bad calls. If JPP's strip sack had fallen into Bucks hands, that we'd have a totally opposite view. This team is winning when they're not playing well, and they're 4-1, and they're getting healthier. And so I'm sort of moderate here on I'm not worried that they're going to be a 7-9 team yet. If they lose the next two games, yeah, I think there's a ton of reason to be concerned that they hadn't pulled it together by the midway point. So that's where I am. But it's fun, Ira. But the penalties, Ira, it's all on coaching. You can pick a guy here or a guy there that you can live with, like Carlton Davis. Carlton Flags Davis came into the league, as Sean Sullivan likes to remind me all the time, with a history of tons of penalties in college. So this is kind of the guy you drafted, and you're trading aggressiveness for his handsy ways, and you hope that he can clean it up a little bit. But as a whole, it's very messy. It's on coaching. They've got a consultant on board, Larry Rose, that they hired, an ex-official, just to be able to teach nuances and explain some of this stuff. And then yesterday, Arians is out there saying that Ryan Jensen is a marked man, and that DeMar Dotson was a marked man. And you wonder if that's a reason that they got rid of Dotson. And, you know, I don't even know if I like Arians coming out and saying for every official to hear that, yeah, these guys go into games with preconceived notions and it's working against us.
Well, these pre-snap penalties, Lee, creating the first and 20s a couple of times this year, it was first and 30. You can't overcome that. I mean, you know, Brady doesn't have the arm to overcome first and 20 very often. I mean, most teams are going to end up punting in that situation. You're screwing yourself up before the drive even starts. And it happens time and again. If it's not Donovan Smith, it's somebody else. The personal foul penalties, the offsides, it's not clean, Lee. And you got a talented roster, and you're undermining your own talented roster by doing this. And now we're heading into week 6. Lee, I mean, how long is it going to take to clean this stuff up? They got to play a clean game Sunday, because I'll tell you what, Green Bay's going on all cylinders. They're scoring 30 points a week. Rodgers having the time of his life. The Bucs better be ready to play, Lee.
I kind of think when Rodgers was going out with the actress from Oklahoma, that was the time of his life. I can't think of her name. She's
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, yeah.
Lee, when he throws that screen pass to Aaron Jones, it's a close second. It's a close second.
I'm not used to polling like Aaron Rodgers was.
Lee, what's going on with these penalties, DeKemper? What's going on?
Well, first off, I can't fully blame the coaches, and this is why. Though it's a culprit. Coaching is a culprit, I believe, but I can't fully blame the coaches, and this is why. False starts. How long have these guys been playing football? Probably since they were 10 years old. You learn what the freaking snap count is when you're 10 years old. That's just having your head up your ass. That's not paying attention. That's being too jittery. That is absolutely flat on a player. Not knowing what the snap count is. That is flat on the player, period. And you're going to say, oh, the quarterback's audibling. Well, listen then. I mean, goodness gracious. So that is strictly 100% on the player, a false start. There's no way you tell me Joe Gilbert's responsible for pick your favorite offensive lineman false starting. No way. Absolutely no way. So I can't fully blame the coaches. And you were talking about first and 20, Ira, and that the Bucs aren't, you know, Brady can't overcome that. I'm not saying first and 20 is admirable or even remotely an objective for any team. But if any team is built to overcome that, it's the Bucs. Look what they're loaded at, the passing game. So if the Bucs aren't able to come back from first and 20, no team is. Is it preferable? Of course not. But they can overcome that. Now, you shouldn't be expected to do that regularly, nor is that an objective. Please don't misunderstand. But I'm just saying that, you know, Mr. Six Rings, Mike Evans, Godwin, Gronkowski, if you can't overcome first and 20 once in a while with those guys, then you got a bigger problem.
Hey, Steve, I got a question for you, Steven. And I want a direct answer, and I don't want a debate answer. I want a direct answer.
You're putting it on the stand?
On this Brady fourth down issue last week, Steve, he was very noncommittal after the game. He wouldn't say one way after another. He hedged, he fudged. You talk about a debate answer. He gave a debate answer. So my question to you is, Steve, how confident are you, how sure are you that in private, in the locker room with his teammates, either after the game or sometime since, he has taken the fall and admitted to his guys what everybody knows, that he screwed up at the end of that game, Steve? Or do you think he has not addressed it with his teammates?
To give you a straight answer, I don't think he's addressed it at all. I don't think Brady views it as a screw-up. He still went with the play that he thought was going to work, and if it worked, we'd all be celebrating. So, and he knew where the first down marker was. It wasn't like he didn't understand that. So the bottom line is, I don't think he's addressed it at all. It's a team game, and I don't think he said a damn word. And I also think he stands by ripping Ryan Jensen a new one for a headbutt. So, you know, move on. That's where I stand. And I don't think to answer your question even further, Ira, I don't think that Tom Brady loses any credibility for chewing out guys and then making his own mistake in one game. I don't think so.
Lee, I don't understand Steve's answer in terms of he doesn't think he lost track of the downs. Everybody knows what happened. There's not any dispute about this, Lee. So why can't you come out and say it?
To quote the immortal Chris Russo, we're not stupid.
I mean, is there another side of the story on this thing?
Ira, I didn't say that he didn't screw up the downs. I said I don't think he apologized for it, and I'm not sure he has anything to apologize for. That's all.
By the way, Steve brought up something, Ira, about penalties that reinforces what I said. It's not 100% on the coaches. Do you think at some point in Ryan Jensen's life, he was told that, you know what, once the whistle's over with, don't headbutt people?
Well,
that's another example. It's just, you know, that's fully on a player, not a coach.
Well, I think the right head coach and coaching staff can make a huge difference in this area. Don Shula's teams, Lee, you know this, they always led the league in fewest penalties. I mean, always. And, you know, they change offensive linemen every 3 or 4 years and get new guys in. And, again, fewest penalties in the league. Belichick, fewest penalties in the league. Now, these are Hall of Fame coaches. I understand that. But that's my point in saying you can have a big effect in terms of the penalties that are called and accountability.
Well, like I said, I'm not disputing that part. I'm just saying it's not 100% on the coaches. There are some things the player is responsible for, and it's like it's fundamental elementary grade school stuff that they learned when they were 10 years old, that, you know, why aren't you doing this as an adult? I mean, that's not coaching in any way. I wrote this earlier this week on joebucksfan.com. There very well could be some techniques the Bucks are coaching that may lead or look like holding, for example. I'm just going to throw that out there. Offensive holding or Carlton Davis. Now, he came into the league with a reputation for being handsy. Maybe he's being coached up to do something as a cornerback that leads to penalties. That's coaching. But, false starts and headbutting dudes, that's not a coach. There's no way. That's strictly 100% on a player.
Yeah, I'll have some fun and disagree. I think it is on the coaching, and it speaks to them not being afraid of the coaches, not being afraid of any accountability. When it's collective like that, I mean, one game, one play, sure, but collective over a season, when it's the big total is there, it's on the coaching staff for not making these guys listen. And I got to put it on the coaches. I mean,
can you coach up smart? That's you can figure that out. You make a lot of money, Steve.
It doesn't mean the Patriots have all smarter players. Or look, Mike Smith, when he was with the Falcons, they used to have 50, 60 penalties a year. I believe he even set the NFL record one year, might have been 49 or something. I mean, it's about getting these players to listen, and that's on coaching. And it's not one player, one game. Like I said, it's not one headbutt. But when season after season, these guys aren't listening to you, they're basically effectively tuning you out as a coach. And if you don't bench anybody, eventually no one's ever going to listen to you.
Hey, Steve, speaking of Carlton Davis, guys, he's nursing an abdominal injury. He might suit up Sunday. He might not. But even if he does, if he's less than 100%, it's a problem, guys, because Davante Adams, who I know very well because I got him on my fantasy team. And by the way, I'm playing Isbits this week, Lee. Head-to-head, a battle of 2-1-4 football clubs that are desperate for a win. And, you know, Carlton Davis has a habit and a preference for covering the other team's best receiver, and Davante Adams is a heck of a receiver, and he's coming off a hamstring injury, and the bye week really helped him. So he looks like he's 100%, and if Carlton Davis isn't, that could throw Jamel Dean into the spotlight a little bit. We shall see. Steve, I want to make this point. You brought out the Raiders. You know, they got a winning record. They just beat the Chiefs, but they can't stop anybody. Lee, this may calm you down a little bit. Green Bay's defense, even with this 4-0 start, it's only average. There's nothing special about Green Bay's defense, and there's no reason that Brady and company, especially the way Ronald Jones is running the ball, can't keep the chains moving, put up a lot of points against the Packers, which I think they're going to have to. So, guys, Green Bay's defense is nothing to be afraid to about, in my opinion.
Well, to add to what you're saying, Ira, they have two good young corners, and they're both dinged up, Kevin King and Jaire Alexander. It's not like the Bucs are the only team that's got injuries. Fortunately, you know, with the Bucs being a lot of receivers being hurt, well, their two Packers' two best corners are also hurt. They're going to play, but they're banged up, like, you know, partial participation in practice. So, you know, that's one good thing.
Sage, I think I have something to keep you and Lee calm. You mentioned just a moment ago keeping Lee calm. It's a football thing, but first I want to remind everybody that another way to keep calm is to drink Florida's best craft beer, Big Storm Beer. Not too much. That'll keep you calm. Sometimes you drink too much, you go a little crazy. But Big Storm Beer, our great friends, they love the podcast. They love the Bucks, and their core beer is the Bromosa, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, so many of them. You can see them and check them out and learn all about them at BigStormBrewery.com. And there you can punch in your zip code and find where you can buy Big Storm beer right near you. Ira, they are your home, Big Storm Clearwater, to watch every Bucks road game with fans. And we'll be out there on Sunday night against those Raiders. What a fun time that's going to be. And Sage, I'm figuring you'll get in there about 6:30, order some brisket, sit down, relax, and have a nice dinner, get ready for the game. And we'll be joined by our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, Josh Martin and family. I know you're a big fan of his, Ira. And he is going to be buying everybody a beer until 8 o'clock. So we'll call it 6:30 to 8 p.m. We'll be passing out some coupons, and you can cash in at the bar for a free beer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Hey, if you're a plumber or a plumbing contractor or an air conditioning contractor or a property management firm or a property manager, come on out and talk shop with Josh, too, because he will talk to you about Florida's Elite Restoration and how they are mold remediation specialists. They're licensed. They have an impeccable reputation. He can tell you about who they work with and how they handle all disasters of all kinds all over the Tampa Bay area, and with great success and with great honesty and integrity. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. But again, they'll be out there with us, Ira, on the 25th, Sunday night, at Big Storm Clearwater, buying people a beer. How about that, Ira?
You know, Steve, we might have some giveaways that night, too. Throw that in there. I think we will. Lee, you are our craft beer resident expert. When I went to Big Storm for the Bears game, I got there about 6:30. Had my brisket and my barbecue platter, which was absolutely scrumptious. Lee, I found a beer. I found a beer I got a preference for. It's called Kolsch. I believe it's K-O-L-S-C-H.
Yep.
It went down very smoothly. In fact, I had several. So, Lee, I'm going through that menu. I'm going through the beer list. I'm going to know everything that moves about Big Storm Brewery, but so far, so good.
You had this, the brisket, and I know you're very, very, very fond of the Rubens at Odessa. How could you go wrong with their Cubans? Learning the menu very well, Ira.
The wings are very good, too, Lee, of course.
And Ira, when you come home from a night such as that and you vomit and behind your toilet you see some mold and some water, who do you call?
What a setup. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. You can't fool around with mold. How about that for the line of the week? You can't fool around with mold, gentlemen. You just can't do it.
All right, Sage. Fun times ahead at Big Storm Clearwater, and free beer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Right after the Packers game, we will have all the details. If you want extra details at JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, this Buccaneers defense is ranked number 2 in the NFL yards against. I believe they're 8th in points against. Can this defense beat the Packers? Should we believe in this defense that it is for real and that good things are going to be happening and that we should start thinking that we can win games on defense against good teams?
Well, 3 weeks ago I would have said yes, but now I'm a little concerned. Struggled against Justin Herbert, who's going to be very good. Struggled against Nick Foles. They blew 3 leads against Nick Foles. They blew a 13-0 advantage against Nick Foles. Now here comes Rodgers. He's playing about as well as he ever has, which is saying a mouthful. And he's done it without Devontae Adams for the last two, three games. I think it's going to be a shootout. I don't have the confidence in the Buck defense right now. I think Bowles, he's really up against it this week. He doesn't know what the heck to do. Do I bring the pressure? If he does, Rodgers has seen every blitz. Lee, he's adept at dumping the ball off to the backs, and that's been a problem for this Buck defense the last couple of weeks, is that flat pass been wide open. Nobody within 10 yards of the running back. I don't care if it was the Chargers or the Bears. It's been an issue. This is a very, very difficult matchup for the Buck defense. You don't want my pick, do you, Steven?
I'll take it. You're in on a roll like that, so go with the pick, and we'll hit some other things later. What do you got?
I got a shootout, and ultimately, I got Aaron Rodgers on top, 34-31. Put that in your pipe, DeKemper.
A lot of points.
Lee, since Ira threw us a curveball, why don't we head over to your pick, unless you want me to go next?
Ira, this is what I've been thinking, and this ought to be music to your ears. You're old school, you're 1970s, you're Bill Parcells, you're ground and pound, you don't like passing. If there's a game the Bucs need to go to, and I'm saying this, you got to remember, me saying this, if there's ever a game the Bucs need to keep the ball in the ground, I think this is it. It's not so much because you're keeping the ball away from Aaron Rodgers. It's because maybe for the first time in years, the Bucs' strength might very well be the ground game with Ronald Jones. I'm not joking. And I wrote that this week on JoeBucksFan.com, and I noticed last night Jenna Lane's got the same vibe, and she put out the video that, you know what, the Bucs might want to stick to the ground. Football Outsiders, which is a stat outfit that actually I respect. I know those guys who run that. I know, you know, they don't have their dumb grades, and, you know, they're very objective. You know, they come out with some kind of research that shows a result that doesn't make sense. They actually say it. It doesn't make sense. So anyway, they did a deep dive on offensive lines across the NFL, all 32. The Bucs running up the middle, number one in the NFL between the guards. And who are we talking about? Allie Marpet and Jensen. Ronald Jones is coming off his two best back-to-back games of his career. The Bucs are hurting at wide receiver. The Packers, although they're ranked number 4 in the NFL, give up over 100 yards a game on the ground.
Yep.
Ira, I think the Bucs need to stick with the run game. Unlike that Bears game, there's many things that maybe want to throw up about that game. One of which is Ronald Jones was having his best game, and he was starting to really run the ball like crazy, and they pulled the plug on him. And that was just outrageous to me. I'm a passing guy. I love passing. The Bucs are built to pass, but the Bucs are hurt. And if the run game's going, gosh darn, if you run with a hot hand. I'm a big believer in running with a hot hand. And the Bucs threw cold water on that hot hand last
Still time. Waiting for your pick, DeKemper. Still waiting for your pick.
24-21 Bucs.
All right, Stevie.
Wow. Very interesting. Now, I'll just come make it quick, Ira. I'm here on my piece of paper. I've got the same pick, 24-21 Bucs. How about that? Now, for very different reasons, I think that I still have confidence in Tom Brady. I still actually believe, now I haven't seen it to get rid of our favorite nickname, but I still believe that somehow the Bucs are forging a home field advantage. I watched them win 2 in a row at home. I don't know when the last time that was. I still think that maybe something's there at home. I'm gonna hope that maybe they get back to some league-wide normalcy where they actually play better at home. And Sage, I believe in the weapons. in Gronk and Brate, and more time off for Brady and for these guys to get healthy. Mike Evans with the extra time off. I bet you he's healthy and raring to go. And I was excited by Tyler Johnson breaking through a little bit. And, of course, the run game's going well. So I'm going to believe a little bit in this defense, and I'm sticking with that 24-21 Bucks.
Well, that would certainly change our conversation for next week's podcast with the Bucks sitting at 4-2, having beaten a quality team. I'll say it again, and Lee, you're right about the Green Bay's rush defense. Not very good. I think teams are averaging 4.8. That's a big number, and Ronald Jones is going wild. I think Rodgers will make one more play than Brady, especially if Carlton Davis isn't 100% or may not even play. I think that's a problem, even more than Vita Vea not being there. Guys, it's going to be in the upper 80s, a little muggy. Lee, you think that favors the home team a little?
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Aaron Rodgers struggles in warm weather sites, and he has a losing record at the Den of Depression. He's 1-2. And on top of that, Aaron Rodgers is a whiner. And I like him. I love watching him. But the life he's led, why are you a whiner? I mean, of all people, should be happy and consider themselves blessed. He's always whining. And this week, he's already whining about the turf at the Den of Depression. Oh, they play too much football on it. Well, duh. It's already in his head. So I don't know if that, Steve's talking about home field advantage. I mean, it's already in the guy's head. He's already complaining about the turf.
Steve, to follow that point, and I think this is a fair observation of Aaron Rodgers over the years, Steve. He's a great front runner. When things are going well, which they have this year, he's all smiles. He's got that devilish smile. You can't wait to wipe it off his mug. But Steve, when things start to go wrong, he can go awry, and his body language falls apart. You know, if the Bucks get off to a good start, Rodgers could start yakking at his teammates and shrug his shoulders. We've seen it, Steve. You know, his body language tells the tale about how he's thinking. He doesn't hide it. It could go sideways for Rodgers if the Bucks start playing well on Sunday.
It could, but I don't think I've ever seen Rodgers, sort of fall apart the way you're talking. When they're 4-0, I mean, if he's having a meltdown because they're down 19-6 at halftime, when you have a 4-0 record, I don't know if he's that mentally twisted.
Right.
But hopefully, Ira. One thing I got my eye on is the secondary, as always, which they deserve the eyeball all season given their age and their history. But this abdomen injury to Davis, maybe it's nothing, but maybe it's something. I don't know. Arians talked about these marked players. I think Davis is probably in that group, although Arians didn't name him as far as penalties, or he's the least close to getting there. And Sean Murphy Bunting, he's looked bad in the last 2 weeks. He hasn't made a play all season that I can remember or that the stat sheet really shows. So hopefully he can bounce back as well.
I thought, I'd like to see a little more Jamel Dean. Lee, I think the guy's a good football player. Last year, I thought he was better than Davis. I won't say that this year yet, but I think from what I see, and Jimmy Graham caught that touchdown, and like Steve says, well, it was a one-handed touchdown because Dean had his other hand pinned. But Dean was all over that guy. I mean, he seems to be always near the football. Even when the guy catches the ball, he's right there. And I think ultimately, that's going to pay dividends for the Bucks.
Well, I think the reason why he doesn't start is it seems like he gets caught napping once a game.
Yeah.
Just like Carlton Davis gets caught getting too handsy once a game. It seems like Dean, once a game, he gets caught napping. And the rest of the game, he plays solid. That's why he doesn't start. I'm pretty convinced of it.
Yeah, hopefully we get a big bounce back from Winfield. He's sort of got a little quiet the last couple of games, so it'd be nice to see
him. Too many people on defense. Gotten quiet.
Yeah. Devin White is, make a play, man. You're the number 5 overall pick. We got 5 games. You haven't forced a fumble. You haven't had a pick. You don't play the pass well. He's got to step up, Ira. We need that, especially with Vita Vea going down. Not that they're going to, I agree with you, Ira. They're not going to lose a ton losing Vita, but it's something, and you still need these guys to step up.
No question about it. I think the pressure's on Todd Bowles this week going into this game. I think teams are studying the Buck tendencies on defense. Lee, 5 weeks are in the books. They see the aggressiveness of Bowles. He's got blitzers coming from everywhere. Whitehead, the linebackers are blitzing. Very aggressive. And Lee, and I said this after the Chargers game, Lee, when they don't get there, you're exposed. You're exposed. And Rodgers is tough to sack. He's very mobile. And he's so adept at dumping that ball off that I think this is a game that keeps Bowles up at night all week long going into Sunday.
In my eyes, there's only one quarterback better than Aaron Rodgers. And he lives in Kansas City.
Josh Freeman?
Rodgers is a quarterback.
Josh Freeman?
Outstanding, Isbitz. Outstanding.
I love watching Rodgers play. I mean, is there anybody better than him at the back shoulder fades? My gosh.
Yeah, nobody throws a prettier ball. Nobody throws a prettier ball.
He's something else. And he's still a whiner, but he's one hell of a quarterback. I just hope his warm weather jinx continues Sunday.
Ira, I'm getting excited. We have a chance for separation in our picks this week. I believe you and I are 4-1. Lee's 3-2. We have a chance to knock you around a little bit, Ira. I'm very excited.
And not only that, Steve, but we're facing each other in Todd Wright's Fantasy League. Steve, somebody's going to have some crowing rights next week.
Well, let's get that straight for a second, Ira. I just want to say with my 1-4 record, which is horrendous, I have more total points than the leader of the league. I've just had a very bad, some bad beats, and this week is going to be a very easy victory against the Sage, even though I've got too many guys on a bye week. But don't worry about it, Ira.
I just lost Dak Prescott, so we're talking about injuries here. He was my quarterback, Isbitz, but I'm still going to beat you with my backup.
All right, Ira. Now, listen, before we head out of here, we still have a couple things to get to, but I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com is the website. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. If you're shopping for a truck or you want to get a new vehicle for the end of this year and be all set, whatever it is, your situation, you're shopping for a friend, a relative, start at BillCurryFord.com and start, even if you want to, an email or a phone call to Sean Sullivan, their general manager. He will assist you, answer your questions like as if your best friend was in the car business. And that's just a fact. So we want to remind everybody of that, BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer, drink it, get it, go to their website, BigStormBrewery.com, where you can find it. And they have their tap rooms in Odessa and Clearwater. And the name to remember, put it on your fridge. If you ever have a disaster at your home, water that shows up, mold appears, you know, maybe you go away for a week, you come back, your AC was out, and all of a sudden that led to a bunch of mold. Florida's Elite Restoration.com is the website. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Give them a call 24/7. Before you call anybody else, they'll come out to your home, give you an absolutely free assessment of what's going on. Ira,
I actually call these guys every Monday. After a Monday of watching football and drinking beer, my kitchen's a disaster.
Hey, they might be able to help you, Lee. Now, you never know what's under that pizza on the floor. You never know. All right, Ira. So look, we got an exciting Sunday ahead, and I'll throw this to you and you can answer this and then take us out on some sort of piece of wisdom if you have it. Ira, Bruce Arians, he said a lot this week. He's had a lot to deal with. You know all the pressure on him this season. How big is this game for what Bruce Arians is trying to accomplish in his locker room, out with the media, the perception of the club, really just all angles? Does Bruce Arians need a good game here?
I think absolutely he does. National television. Yeah, we got Buck and Aikman. We got Buck and Aikman again coming to Ray J. You know, a lot of people are going to be watching this game across the country. There are skeptics out there about Brady, about the Bucks, about Arians even. Now, look, this is a two-time coach of the year. But the last, you know, two or three years haven't been kind to Bruce Arians. Now he's being questioned about a penalty-prone football club, you know, that goes directly to him and his coaching staff, and I think he's got to respond. This is the best team the Bucs have played because, let's be honest, the Saints haven't looked that good. They have not looked that good through 5 weeks. Part of that is injuries. Part of it is they just haven't clicked. And this is the best team the Bucs have faced. If they play well and a complete game victory, they will silence all the skeptics, including those that are now questioning Bruce Arians.